Good morning. It's good to be with you all this morning, and I hope you're ready and prepared to worship the Lord and worship the Lord through the preaching of His Word. And if you're ready and hungry for the Word of God, let's go to Psalm 46. Our text is going to be in Psalm 46 this morning. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, and though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, and though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her in that right early. The heathen rage and the kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice, the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Come, behold the works of the Lord. What desolations he hath made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow and cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariot with the fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Let's pray. Father, we thank you this morning so much that we have a refuge. The God of Jacob is our refuge, a safe place, a hiding place. We thank you, Father, for your precious promises from your word. We thank you, Father, for your church. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the Holy Spirit that guides us, that indwells us. We thank you, Father, for all the blessings you give us. And we worship you. We praise you. We give you honor and glory this morning. And we ask you to fill us with your spirit as we look into your word, as we worship you this morning. This is your day. We recognize this is the Lord's day. And we want to honor and glorify you in it. In Jesus' name. Amen. If you'll notice, and I want to start with looking at the fact that this precious psalm invokes God as our refuge. In the very beginning, in verse 1, God is our refuge. In the middle, verse 7, the God of Jacob is our refuge. And there at the last, verse 11, the God of Jacob is our refuge. God is our refuge. God is our shelter. He's a shelter from the storm, a shelter in a time of danger, and we can hope in Him. We can trust in Him. The Lord is our rock. We can hide in Him. Secure, what ail betide, a shelter in the time of storm. A shade by day, defense by night, a shelter in the time of storm. No fears, alarm, no foes, affright, a shelter in a time of storm. The raging storms may round us beat. We'll never leave our safe retreat, a shelter in a time of storm. O rock divine, O refuge dear, be thou our helper ever near, a shelter in a time of storm. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. A very present help in trouble. Jeremiah 23:23. The Lord proclaims, I am a God at hand, saith the Lord, and not a God far off. We don't live in a time, brethren, when we can dilly-dally around about the things of God. We need to immerse ourselves in the truth of God and who He is and what He means to His people. He is working all things after the counsel of His own will. Not one sparrow falls to the ground without the Father. The very hairs of your head are numbered. And Jesus says, fear ye not, ye are of more value than many sparrows. Nothing is out of His control, and you are precious to Him. Therefore, we see clearly what it means. He is our refuge. He is our strength. The story was told of an earthquake years ago where people of a small village were terrified in the midst of it. They were frightened. And one old woman was surprisingly calm, and she was actually joyful in the midst of this terrible tragedy. And others asked, "Are you not afraid?" "No," she said, "I rejoice to know that I have a God who can shake the world." Our God is in control. Our God is our refuge. God's people have endured for thousands of years suffering, sickness, peril, sword, mocking, death, persecution. We have God's promises. We have precious promises, and they're all true. Listen to this. "Upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not, will not, cannot, never will prevail against it." We are in the care of the Lord. He owns the universe, and he does as he pleases. And we are his, and we have precious promises. This world will one day pass away. The Lord will one day fold it up like a vesture. But his years fail not, and he changes not. And we are heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. And it's the Father's good pleasure that he would give to us the kingdom. Now, we must through much tribulation enter the kingdom of God. But there's nothing, brethren, that can thwart God's plan for his children. What the president has to say doesn't affect that. What the scientists have to say doesn't affect that. What the news media says doesn't affect that. What the economy may or may not do does not affect that. The politicians cannot affect that. Not even death can affect that. We are heirs of God and joint heirs with the Lord Jesus Christ. And brethren, this is a time of unprecedented time for us as citizens, but not for the church. Listen, "Lo, teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe whatsoever things I've commanded you." And listen what the Lord says to his church. "And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world." The church has been through a lot, and he's never left us yet. See, if nothing remains on this earth, when the Lord comes back, his church will be here. And listen, the church will make it. And I don't know yet, brethren, how battered we're going to be due to this pandemic when we come out of it. I understand that things are rough, and God's people are not immune. And let me tell you, many will suffer. Many may lose their job, may get sick, suffer grief, or even die. And the president tells us that the cure may be worse than the disease. We don't know what we're going to face for sure. But what do we do? Well, I'm going to give you two things. Right now, there are millions of God's people in our nation as time changes throughout the day around the world, meeting amazingly just as we are this morning. And it seems antithetical to the mission of our calling and what God's called us to do, to be gathered in our houses, not in the assembly. And here I am in an empty auditorium with one person to preach to this morning. But all of you out there, we're gathered together in our houses. We're joined in spirit, but separated in our homes, worshiping this morning. And now this first point I want to make on that is foundational to bringing your thoughts back to Psalm 46, where we're going to find our second point. But here we are separated, talking on the telephone, texting one another, worshiping separately in our homes. See, God is getting our attention. He is asking you, and he's asking me, what is really important? Because folks, he's pounding our nation. God is pounding on this nation. He's pounding on our economy, on our health. And let me tell you, it's rung in my ears for many years now. Billy Graham said this: if God does not judge America, he'll have to apologize to Sodom and Gomorrah. You knew it was coming. We should have known it was coming. And God is doing this, and he's saying, you love your things, you love your money more than me. And we're talking about God's people too. You won't stop abortion? Well, then I will. God shut down the abortion mills. Roughly 9,000 coronavirus deaths in the U.S. so far. But we normally have more abortions than that in a week in the United States. This virus is saving more lives in that regard than it's taking. The Lord's going to get his. And you can count on it. So how does this impact the church? Because that's the reality. Well, we're being tested. We're being shaken. We're being awakened. And God is screaming to his people. Wake up. Just one example. I don't know how many church folks I've talked to on the phone recently. I can't count them all, trying to keep up with everybody. But I can tell you one thing they basically all have in common. And in one way or another, they ask me, Pastor, when do you think we're going to get back together? When do you think we're going to be able to get back together and look at one another face to face? Things like, I miss my church family. I miss going to church. We need some fellowship. Maybe you haven't missed it. Well, it's a good time to do some soul searching, for we know that we've passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. It's been so easy for God's people to take the Lord for granted. I'll just go to church on Sunday morning, or I don't need Sunday school, or I'll just go every now and then. And the Lord's making his people appreciate. Right now, he's making us appreciate the feast of God's word that we get to enjoy when we gather together. The feast of love and fellowship that we have in the Lord's church. And I think it's time to dispense with all the idea of running down the church bashing, people talk. Just, you're part of the problem, and so we all need to stop. It's enough complaining. It's enough judging. And I would say, brethren, when we're able to get back together, we need to dispense with judgmental attitudes and love one another. Dispense assuming and supposing that we know what so-and-so meant when they said such and such or this or that. Stop assuming and start loving with all your heart, serving, sacrificing, giving yourself, giving your time, giving your money, giving your life to the Lord and to his work. And we need to appreciate what God's given us. Some of it we can and may lose. He could take away our nice building and our property and all of our things and all of our stuff. But we have the Word of God and we have each other. We have the Lord. We've been blessed above measure, brethren. We've been blessed in this nation above and beyond. And God is waking us up. Be thankful. Be thankful for your family. Be thankful for your wife and let her know that you love her and that you're thankful for all that she does. Be thankful for your husband and tell him and show him. Be thankful for your children. Love on them, show them, let them know it. Extend yourself, sacrifice yourself. Be thankful for your parents. Be thankful for all that you have. Be thankful for the Word of God and get into the Word of God. Be thankful for your church. In the church, God has fitly joined us together, and we need each other. But we become so prosperous that we forget that we need that. We need one another. Now we're starting, maybe, to see clearer than ever what God has done for us. We're missing our brethren. We're missing the fellowship. That's not an accident. God didn't do this on accident. I had one brother tell me, it was a little bit humorous, but he said that our Wednesday night fellowship and prayer meeting and our first Sunday fellowship should be categorized as an essential business by the governor. And I can't argue too much with that. My youngest son, he really warmed my heart. He came to me yesterday and he said, Dad, how long do you think it'll be till we have church at the church? I said, I don't know, son. I hope not too long. He then said, I really need to see my brethren. I miss them. I said, me too. Me too. So let's start now. The Lord knows where each of us are. He's watching us this morning. The angels are watching over us. He is with us. Worship him. Worship him like you've never worshiped him. Praise his holy name. Give him glory. Give him glory and praise because he is worthy. Is he worthy? Is he worthy of our praise and our honor and our glory? Of course he is. He is worthy in the good times and he's worthy in the bad times. The problem is we hadn't had very many bad times. We're going to be right back here before too long together, Lord willing. But right now the Lord is speaking loud and clear. He's saying, do I have your attention? Do I have your attention? Like a mother with a child that won't calm their spirit. Do I have your attention? Do you hear what I'm saying? Be faithful to me. Be faithful to my church. Stop taking me for granted. Get back to being serious about it. Get back to serving. Get back to putting me first, making my church a priority. Get back to loving. Get back to giving. Get back to forgiving. And I don't get this idea that I can't give. I just can't do it. I got to keep this for myself, or I can't forgive. God's people seems to me in America, and I'm included. I'm first on the list. We become so arrogant. We've been fed this pack of lies by the world, by the devil, psychology. I even read some material lately that said when you've been offended, it's so-called Christian material. You don't forgive the person to the person. It's just between you and God. You don't have to forgive the person. Brethren, we're to forgive as God's forgiven us for Christ's sake. He directly forgave us all of our debt and released us of that debt and came to us and did that. And it had a major impact on our life because he released that debt. We need to learn to love like that. We need to get back to forgiving. We need to be merciful, kind, tender-hearted, loving one another, loving the brethren, giving, tithing, serving in the church, attending the church services, witnessing to people, sharing the gospel with others. Stop being ashamed of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Loving our families, appreciating the things we have, sharing our faith, as I said, with others, worshiping him, praise him. Praise him now. Begin now. Worship him. Repent of your sins. Repent of hard-heartedness. Repent of your covetousness. Repent of your unfaithfulness. And come up out of this time that we're going through now with a renewed spirit, with a renewed sense of love for God, a renewed in the inner man, renewed in the spirit of your nine by the word of God. Romans chapter 12, Paul tells us after 11 chapters of soteriology, the greatest treatise on the doctrine of salvation and justification in the history of the world. And he says, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present yourselves, present your bodies holy and acceptable unto God, a reasonable sacrifice, which is holy and acceptable unto God. I'm misquoting that just a little bit, because I got to keep moving on. But he says, be transformed. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. In other words, when you're transformed to the Word of God, you're transformed by the Holy Spirit. You're not conformed to this world, and you begin to see the path that God has for you, and you can prove, you can test that perfect will of God, where God's ultimate decree, His will of purpose, comes into His revealed will from His Word, and it comes together in your life. Why? Because you're not conformed to this world, but you're transformed by the renewing of your mind, and that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And the very next verse says, not to think of yourself more highly than you ought to. It's not about self. Not putting me first, but others. Christ first, then others. This world and the devil has done a good job of convincing God's people that they should get what's coming to them. I want mine. I'm a perpetual victim all the time when I'm truly actually just blessed beyond measure. It's all about me, me, me. I'm not going to sacrifice anything. I shouldn't have to. There's so much in life I want for me. And the devil's convinced God's people to put themselves first. And now the Lord's waking us up. It sounds so good to the flesh. You're the most important thing. You've already done your part. Don't put up with any of that. Nobody's going to tell you what to do. Then I start thinking, I deserve this. I deserve that. Then we say things like, this isn't fair. That isn't fair. And that's the language of modern Christianity. We don't know the first thing, it seems like, about true sacrifice. Now we're suffering. It may even get worse. And God is saying to us today, you want fair? You want what's fair? Okay. I've been giving you grace. And you're complaining, but if you insist, I'll give you what's fair and look at us now. We need to use this time. We need to use the time, redeem this time to seek God hard, to seek God with all we have, to seek Him with all of our heart. And the churches of this nation and this world need to come out of this lockdown with a new heart. And it starts with you, and it starts with me. Nothing changes until there's actual change. And that means our hearts have to change. Nothing has actually changed until there's something that really changes, and we have to change. There's nothing in this whole world going on right now. Just think about this. Start now. There's nothing in this whole wide world going on right now that's more important than what we're doing right now. Notice our text, verse 1. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Look at what we have. Look at what we have. We need these promises. We need to listen to God, what He's telling us, and we need to hold on to His promises. And here we have precious promises. This verse is telling us that we can do these things. We can do it. We can make it. Because our God is sufficient. We've been given all things that pertain to life and godliness. We've been given by God all things that pertain to life and godliness, your relationship with God, your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, your Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, His blood covering your sins, eternal life given to you through the new birth, all the things of Christ, the fellowship of the church, the Bible, the Word of God itself. The things of God are sufficient. The things of God are complete to handle all the problems you face in life. But we reach for the arm of flesh, and we reach for this, and we reach for that. And God's saying, look to me. Look to me. And we start looking to the government. We start looking to people. We start looking to philosophy and psychology. And we start looking to security and money. And we think we're smarter to God than God is. God doesn't need any supplements. He doesn't need any helpers to help. What did the church do? What in the world did the church do until the last 150 years with all the innovation and the technology, the Freudism and the news media and the modern sciences that we have? What did the church do then? Same thing we need to do now. God is our refuge and our strength, a very present help in trouble. He is sufficient. The things of God are sufficient for all we need. And we need to appreciate them, apply them, live in them, walk in the gospel, live like Christ, be a light to this world. Our God is a very present help in trouble. His word is perfect in converting the soul. His church is fitly joined together, every joint supplying, effectually working, edifying of itself in love. What else do we need? We need to get to appreciating that. We need to be loving, dealing with sin, eradicating sin, known sin, seeking what's not known, and living holy and godly for God and loving. We don't look to the government to save us. We don't count on politicians to save us or scientists. We're thankful for a blessed nation. We're thankful for God has showered blessings on this nation. He's provided us with so many wonderful things. Wonderful doctors and hospitals, and Lord knows we need them now. And it's amazing what we've been blessed with, and we're thankful for what God's done. But it's all tools in God's hand. We have a refuge that far surpasses anything in this world. We will suffer in this world. We're told we will. But notice this, verse 2. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. God's going to get us through it. If this whole world turns upside down, God's going to get us through it. If the mountains shake, the world turns upside down. And notice verse 4, in the midst of all this, there is a river, a stream whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. When the waters are raging and the waters are roaring and the mountains are shaking, God has a stream that makes glad. You say, what are you talking about? In the midst of it all, what do we have? We have prayer. We can seek God. We can stop. We have the Word of God we can look to. We have the church that we can be with. And brethren, he's taking that away, that fellowship away. We need to appreciate that. There is a stream that makes glad. We can sit down by the stream, set by the stream of God. When we need to worship God when the waters are roaring, and we need to be still and set by the stream of God through prayer, through the Word of God, through worshiping God. Verse 5, notice here. Verse 5 helps explain verse 4. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. Who's the her? Who's the her? Well, it's the tabernacles of the Most High in verse 4. Who's that? That's the church. The church is her, and the rivers of the stream whereof made glad is the holy place. Where's the holy place? Where's God placed his name? In his church. He established his church. Praise God for that. And he's in the midst of her. He's not a God afar off. It's not like he doesn't know what's going on. It's not like he'll never forsake us. And she shall not be moved. The gates of hell shall not prevail against her. And God shall help her. And that right early. In other words, no matter what's going on in this world, he's going to be with us. And quick. A very present help in trouble. We have resources. That's what we're talking about this morning. We have resources with God, and we need to appreciate and be thankful for it. He will help us. He will help us. Verse 6, notice here. The heathen raged, the kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice, the earth melted. All he has to do is utter his voice. All he has to do is speak. And he gets the whole world's attention. All he's going to do is say one word. Just speak it. He can make things happen that everybody sees. It says the heathen raged, the kingdoms were moved. The people can be going totally out of control. And he utters his voice and the whole earth will melt. That's our God. That's our God. And notice what it says in verse 7 right after that. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. The God of Jacob is our, the God of the Bible is our refuge. The one that created this universe. He speaks and all the chaos in the world would stop because he could melt the earth in a heartbeat. And he's our God. Our God. And he's our refuge. And he will help us. Notice verse 8. Come, behold the works of the Lord. What desolation he hath made in the earth. Just look around. Just look around. What desolation he has made. He can tear it up faster than you can even blink an eye. God can get your attention. And it says in verse 8, behold the works of the Lord. Brethren, there's nothing that ever happens that God's not completely in control of. There's not one random molecule in this universe that's out of place. There's not one blade of grass on this planet that's not exactly where it needs to be. Every single hair in your head is exactly the one that needs to be there right now. God is in control of the littlest details and the biggest things that exist. He's in control of people. He's in control of events. He's in control of viruses. He's in control of pandemics. He's in control of healing. He's in control of every single thing. He's in control of the government. He's in control of the leaders. He's in control of you, and he's in control of me. But what is precious is this. The Lord of hosts is with us. He's with us. He's with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. That's our place of safety. He's our refuge, the place we go for safety. Verse 9, notice here, verse 9 says, He maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow and cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariot in the fire. In other words, no matter what men's doing, they can rage and war and fight and do what they want to, and he can stop it in a heartbeat. It makes it cease. He can make it cease. He sovereignly rules over his creation. He speaks, and there's a worldwide pandemic. Stops everything. Shuts the whole world down. Just all he has to do is speak and shut the whole world completely down. He turned the whole world upside down. He stops all the wars. He stops all the fighting. Stops all the different issues. Everybody's got to take care of this one thing. He gets your attention. And then, is he sufficient? Is he sufficient? Is he sufficient for your troubles? Is he sufficient for my troubles? Is he truly a sufficient refuge for us? A place of safety in the time of storm? A place of protection in the time of storm? Is he truly our wisdom? Can he truly guide us? Of course he can. He is our wisdom. He is our refuge in a time of storm. He is our help. And then this precious verse, verse 10. Be still. This is what God's telling us right now. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. Not I might, not I maybe. I'm going to be exalted. They're going to know who I am. The world will know me. They're going to know who I am. And he's telling his people, in the midst of me getting this world's attention, be still. Be quiet for a minute. Listen. The Lord's saying, stop. Listen. The Holy Spirit has inspired this, and he says, be still. Stop. In the midst of trouble, be still. Stop fussing. Be still. Stop striving. Be still. Stop warring. Be still. Stop worrying. Be still. Stop fearing. Know that I am. I am God. Be still. The sovereign of the universe is basically saying this. Sit down for a minute. Wait for me to move. Acknowledge me as your God. You've been going about your business. My people have been just going about their business. My people are taking my church for granted. My people are taking my word for granted. My people are taking the fact that the Holy Spirit indwells them, leads them and guides them, these precious, wonderful things of God, for granted. My people are taking the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ for granted. And he's saying, sit down, just stop. Stop for a moment. Acknowledge me as your God. Acknowledge me. Show me that you remember me. Stop. Look at me. It's about me. That's what God's saying. It's not about us. It's about God. And everything's about God. It's about the Lord Jesus Christ. And look at his glory. Look how amazing he is. The precious Son of God came down from glory and gave his very life for us. And he doesn't have to do that. He lives every minute interceding for us, loving us, watching over us. And what are we doing? I'm guilty. Going about our business. Even as a preacher, sometimes I think, Lord, I'm too busy doing your work to stop for you. I'm too busy being a pastor, too busy. I got to get this ready or do that. Instead, he's saying to his people, stop. Stop. You can take some time. Pray to me. I'll take care of everything. Look to me. Get your head on straight. Be still and know that I am God. I'll take care of the ungodly. I'll take care of this world. I'll take care of the pandemic. I'm the refuge. I'm your refuge and your strength. I'm your help. Trust me. Trust me like my people trusted me in the past. Look back at the fathers of faith in the Word of God. Look back at the history of God's people. Before we had all this innovation, before we had all these sciences, before we had all the wonderful things that we have now that may be pulling us away from God, before we had all the technology and the Freudianism to pull our minds away and the schools to teach us evolution and pull us away from God. Go back beyond that. Trust me like God's people used to trust me. Lean on the Word of God. Remember, that's all that really matters. That I'm your refuge. I'm your strength. I'm a very present help in trouble. I will be there for you. Be still. Don't forget about me. Maybe you had too much toilet paper. Maybe you don't need all that. Maybe you don't appreciate it. Don't forget my word. Don't forget my promises. Don't forget my love. Don't forget my church. Don't forget my power. That I'm God. Know that I am God. Then, brethren, notice verse 11. The Lord of hosts, again, is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. The Lord of hosts, the one that rules over the universe, all the whole, you know, when Christ is coming back, he's coming with all his holy angels, 1,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands. It's the word myriad in the Greek. That means an innumerable company of angels. And how many of God's people? We don't know. We don't know, but it's a number bigger than we can imagine. And he's the Lord of hosts, and he has all of that under his control, and he says he's with us. He's with us, the sovereign creator, the all-powerful one, and he's our refuge. We find him in his word. We seek him through the Holy Spirit. He helps us. He's there. The Lord is on our side. We are on the winning team, and the Lord's saying, wake up and listen to this. Do I have to show you, just have to show you what I can do? And I say, yeah, I guess you do, Lord, but we're just that stubborn. Do you not realize that you're the winners? You're more than conquerors through Christ that loved you? Can you not appreciate what I've done for you in the gospel at the cross? Through all the blessings I give you? All things that pertain to life and godliness? The Lord is on our side. We're on the winning team. Together, God's people. Stop, contemplate, tune the Holy Spirit in to your heart. You have to stop worrying for a minute. You have to stop being angry for a minute. You have to stop being frustrated for a minute. You have to stop being afraid. You have to stop being desperate for a moment. Still your heart. That will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed upon thee. There's no peace looking anywhere else. There's no peace. This world will tell you peace, peace, but there will be no peace from this world. We have peace and joy in believing. Our hope is in God, trusting his word. Look, and so you have to stop being desperate for just a moment. Still your heart. Still your soul. Sit by the stream of the Word of God that makes glad. And as you sit by the stream in the midst of the storm, when the waters are raging and roaring and the mountains are shaking, listen to him say, I'm with you. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I didn't bring you this far to let you go now. I didn't give precious promises to you in my word one after another, after another, after another, after another, telling you to fear not, I am with you, over and over and over again to let you go now. For the mountains depart, the hills be removed, but my kindness shall not depart from thee, neither shall the covenant of my peace be removed, saith the Lord that hath mercy on thee. God is merciful to his people. Look with me in Isaiah 40. I want to close with this passage in Isaiah 40. And I think it is absolutely apropos to the message and the time. Isaiah 40, as God's speaking to us to be still and to listen to him. Take some time to reflect and to contemplate and come up out of this lockdown renewed in the spirit of our minds, proving and testing what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God, not thinking too highly of ourselves as we ought to, but recognizing that each one of us have a measure of faith given to us for the purpose of serving together in the church, and that we are to maintain the unity of the Spirit till we come to the unity of the faith. And we've all been given gifts by God, and we have all things that pertain to life and godliness in the Word of God and in the church and through the Holy Spirit, that we might not be children tossed to and fro with every whim of doctrine, deceived and carried about, but solid, standing on the solid rock of God, standing on the Lord Jesus Christ. Because brethren, that's all that's going to matter when this world is on fire. All that's going to matter is the things of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the only two things are going to escape this world, and that's God's people and his word. And that's what matters most now. Notice this in verse 28 of Isaiah 40. Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard? And we have, we know, we've heard that the everlasting God, the Lord Jehovah, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is he weary. You know, God hasn't gone to sleep. He's not fallen out. He has this under control. There is no searching of his understanding. Isaiah 40, 28. In verse 29, what's he do? He giveth power to the faint. So he doesn't faint, and he gives power to the faint. You feel like you're going to fall out? Feel like you can't make it? Well, stop looking other places. Stop making it worse. Be still and know that I am God. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increases strength. God is not looking at his church and looking at his people and saying, you guys buck up. You better be strong. We have no strength on our own. It's only strength in God. He strengthens us. He works in us to will and to do of his good pleasure. He is our refuge and our strength in a very present help in trouble. He is our strength. God is our strength. And he says he gives power to the faint and them that have no might. He increases strength. You ever feel like I don't have an ounce of might left in me? I don't feel like I can take another step. I don't think I'm going to make it. Why are you still here? How did you make it this far? Because he gives strength. He increases our strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. Children run and run and run and run. Before the day's over, they're going to go to sleep. They're going to get tired. They can't keep going and going and going. And even young men, I remember, and sometimes I talk about how hard I could work when I was a young man. I could work people under the table. I could work so hard that I can't look back now. I don't know how I could possibly work that physically hard for hours and hours and 20 hours a day sometimes, working that hard. But even a young man will utterly fall. He can't keep it up. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. What's he saying? Wait on the Lord. Now's a time of contemplation. Stop. And definitely stop looking around for answers here and answers there. Look to God. Look to our God. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Your strength will be renewed when you seek God and you're still and you stop and you acknowledge him as your God, that he's your refuge, and you get in that hiding place. You get by that stream that makes glad. You're in the word of God, seeking God through prayer, worshiping God as he's deserving of. And they said, he says, they shall mount up with wings as eagles. You know, eagle doesn't just take off flap, 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 flap. He likes to get up on a high spot and wait for the wind to blow. And all he's got to do is open his wings. And that's what we're seeking. We're waiting on God to send the wind to blow. And the Holy Spirit moves in our hearts. As we seek God, we ask him for forgiveness for our unfaithfulness. We ask him for forgiveness for our sinfulness. We ask him for forgiveness for our nation and to heal our land. And we turn to him and we repent and we seek his face. And we say, Lord, we want to make a renewed commitment to you. We want to serve you. We want to worship you harder now than we ever have. You have our attention, God, and we're waiting on you. And he says, you're going to mount up with wings as eagles. When everyone else is falling on 1,000 on this side and 10,000 on that side, it shall not come nigh thy dwelling. You shall be safe. I will take care of you. I'll watch over you. And he says, they shall run and not be weary. In other words, spiritually, we can run. Though a child can run and fall out, we won't fall out spiritually. We can run and go and do what we need to do. And we can walk and not faint. And sometimes it feels like I can't take one more step. And then we look back and go, hey, I did it. I made it. I was able to walk yesterday. Spiritually in the Lord, I was able to make it to today. And I didn't faint. So brethren, I'll just leave you with this. And I want it to just ring in your ears as we contemplate renewed spirit. Coming up out of this lockdown, serving God, committed like never before. Not in our own strength. We can't do it in the flesh. We can do nothing in our own ability. Without him, we can do nothing. In our flesh dwells no good thing. But through the Holy Spirit, through the Lord, we come through this renewed, ready to serve, ready to spread the gospel, ready to give, ready to love, ready to forgive, ready to be merciful, ready to be kind, ready to get rid of sin out of our life and to dispense with the things of the world and seek God. And God says this right now. What we need is this. Be still. Be still and know that I'm God. Let's pray. Father, we know you're going to be exalted among the heathen. You'll be exalted in the earth. You'll be exalted in every way imaginable. Father, we want to get involved in that now. We seek you. We lift up holy hands and praise you. We love you. We worship you. We exalt you. We can't make you majestic. We can't make you holy. We can't exalt you in that way. But we can in our own hearts. We can place you in a place that you deserve on the throne of our hearts. As we bow before you, humble ourselves before your mighty hand, that you might exalt us in due time, trusting, knowing that you care for us. Casting our care upon you and not on this world. Stop with frustration. Stop with anger. Stop with desperateness. We don't need that. We don't have to sorrow as others that have no hope. Help us to recognize that we're cast down but not destroyed. We're not in despair. We have a God that loves us, that has all the power to take care of us and has promised to do so. And come what may, we will be with you, and you will be with us. Help us, Father, to appreciate, to be thankful, and we are. We thank you. I pray, Father, you bless Coweta Baptist Church, and you put a hedge of protection around our families, guard our hearts. Please keep us safe from sickness and harm. Please watch over us and bless us as we seek your face. Spiritually pour out your Holy Spirit into our hearts, that we would be filled with the Spirit of God, speaking the things of God, strengthened in the inner man, that we would be strong to stand for Christ. And I pray, Father, for our community, ravaged more so, I think, than we're even being told, locally around Coweta and Tulsa area. Father, please protect the people. We ask for healing for our land. We ask, Father, that you would heal us, that you would bring us through this. We need your help and your grace so badly. We ask you, Father, to be with our leaders. We ask you to be with our president as he makes decisions that affect everyone's lives. though it doesn't affect our eternal inheritance and it doesn't affect our relationship with you, it's very important to our land that we have a godly leader. We pray, Father, that he would seek your face. We thank you, Father, for all those that are working so hard to protect us and watch over us. But we recognize, Lord, that as we pray for them and we're thankful for what you've given us, we know that it's all just tools in your hand. We look beyond that to you, and we still our hearts, we still our souls, and we look to you, and our mind is stayed on you. And we claim that peace that you promised that passes all understanding, and that we would have hope and joy and peace in our faith, believing in you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.